Welcome to the Invest Like a Boss podcast.
I'm Sam Marks.
And I'm Johnny FD. We're self-made entrepreneurs who invest our own money and use modern technology to invest like a boss.
Join us each week for exclusive interviews with our network of modern investors, business owners, and multimillionaires to discover new ways to invest our hard-earned cash.
Hey bosses, I hope you've enjoyed the 147 episodes prior to this. Don't worry, we're going to continue to have on tons of great interviews with guests, but we are making a few changes to the podcast format, namely the quarterly updates are now going to video format for a couple of reasons. One is so Sam and I can log into our accounts and actually just show you our dashboards. A lot of the things are in graphs and it's just easier to show in video format. But second, both Sam and I really want to get even more transparent with our accounts, and the only way we can get Sam to open up a bit more about exact dollar amounts that he's invested in was to limit the, you know, basically just not make it super public. We've been both pretty transparent about exact dollar amounts of everything we've invested in, but Sam's always held back a little bit for good reasons. I'm sure a lot of you don't talk about exactly how much money you have in the bank or how much you have in each investment or even how much money you earn per year outside maybe some close family and friends. So this is a way to make it so Sam can feel a bit more comfortable opening up, because I think there's a lot of benefit. And honestly, I want to know too, because even I don't know his exact dollar amounts in each category or even his total net worth. And I've estimated, and it's fun to guess, but I would really like to know for myself. So Sam has agreed to disclose everything over the next couple of months in our Patreon group. So the videos, the quarterly updates are going to go to video format, and it's available now. It's actually a 2-hour episode that we recorded. The first half is us talking about updates on our thoughts on the economy, on how things are going to go with, you know, basically the world. And the second half, we dive into our investments. So what we did was we published the first half here for free on the public podcast page. But when we start getting into the numbers, that's going to be Patreon only. And in the future, there will be no more quarterly update, even previews in the main feed, just the interviews with guests. And we think that's fair because for the last 3 years now, 147 episodes, we've lost about $1,000 a month producing the episode through hosting, through editing, and now paying for our production assistant. And going forward, we really need to recoup some of those costs. So it's as an incentive for the Patreons, the people who really care about this information, want to follow along, want to support the show, they're going to get better value by seeing longer video format quarterly updates. And for everyone else who listens to the podcast just on an audio format, you guys will still get all the interviews with guests, so don't worry. But for these kind of in-depth open portfolio topics, we're going to be having that be a video exclusive. So if you want to sign up, just go to investlikeaboss.com, click on support or on Patreon. You can also just go to patreon.com/investlikeaboss. We'll have links to everything below, but just go to investlikeaboss.com, click on support, and that way you can sign up. You can even sign up for the $5 package. It doesn't need to be the VIP membership or anything. It could just be the lowest tier, and you're going to get so many benefits. Not only will you get access to exclusive content like the video updates, but also you'll get access to, you know, to ask questions for guests that are coming on to the show next. In general, we have, you know, as soon as we line up the interviews, we post in the Patreon group who's coming on, and we give you a way to ask them questions. So this is a very easy way where you can ask CEOs of these big name financial companies the questions that you want to know before you invest. And we think it's very, very fair, and people in the Patreon group are very, very happy. So I hope that you join. Don't worry, we're still gonna be producing these free episodes, but we do appreciate you for listening, and we appreciate all of you guys, but this is a way we can make it even more of a value for people who support the show. So without further ado, here is the first half of the quarterly 2 update. If you want to listen to the rest, just go to investlikeaboss.com, click on Patreon or support the show, sign up, and you're going to get the full video interview where you actually see us log into our accounts and see our dashboards. What is up, bosses and Patreons? Thank you so much for supporting the show. And Sam and I are on video. This is our first time doing one of our quarterly updates on video for you guys. I'm excited. Sam, welcome to the show.
Welcome. Welcome, Johnny. Thank you, Patreons. We're going to make this a great show. Actually, if you guys are looking at Johnny right now, do you think it's a Zoom background or do you think it's real? Go ahead, Johnny. It's real. I thought it was a Zoom background. It's sick.
You know what? For $11 a night, this also can be yours.
$11 a night. I thought I got a good deal. I got this place. I'm actually in Colorado right now, on Copper Mountain. I got this Airbnb for $120 a night, which in the States, that's a deal, right?
Yeah.
But it's so funny to contrast and compare it to where you're at.
Yeah. And what's crazy, I'm actually moving to a nicer place in a few hours. Like literally after this recording, I'm gonna go to the ATM, pull out $326, and I'm gonna move into an even nicer place for a month.
Poor Sri Lanka bank machine didn't see you coming. That thing's wiped out.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. Like seriously, like the new place has a pool. It's like 2 blocks from the beach, and it's dope. You'll see it in the next update.
Man, environment is so important for your mood and mentality. You got to get yourself situated in a good spot.
Yeah, and you can't see this, but the beach is literally a block behind me. It's like being on like Second Street or something, and it's beautiful. It's quiet. It's like it's a really nice. Like you would like it right now because I think normally Sri Lanka is really busy, but because there's no tourists now, there's no businesses. Like everything's just quiet and nice.
You know, I went for about 8 days, and I liked it. I didn't love it. I liked it. I didn't think it hit on as many things as Thailand does for a similar price. But once you got out of Colombo, it immediately got a lot better. I mean, the traffic and everything in Colombo is insane.
Yeah.
But yeah, the little sleepy beach towns down south are pretty sweet.
Yeah, and actually the east is even better. Like I liked the south, but I love the east. Like Aragon Bay, it's heaven, man. And like the food here is really good. Last night we went for tapas. It was the most expensive meal I've had here, in 6 months. But I had five plates, like five tapas, like three small ones, two large tapas. Mm-hmm. We had two cocktails and a mocktail, and our total bill. And this was like good food, like shrimp, like, grilled fish, couscous, like, all the kind of good things. Total bill, I think it was $30 for two people, three drinks.
Your saving rate's like 98% right now.
Yeah, it's crazy. And the investments have gone, they've recovered, at least on my part. I'm excited to dive back in, but I remember I guess it was Q1, like during the pandemic, kind of the height of it in March, everything was down. I think my accounts were down by over $100,000. I feel like most things have recovered now.
Yeah, man. I ended the quarter up against all odds. It was crazy. And I just went in and looked at my Vanguard account, and it actually, my total gains went negative at the lows.
Yeah,
I don't know what it was, like early April. It was a total V-shaped recovery. And all the experts said, you won't see a V-shaped recovery here. You see like a W waggly line, and it'll be recovered in 2022. So I don't know. It's totally irrational. National market right now, man. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in the months ahead. But right now, I'm feeling pretty good that against all odds, somehow it turned out to be a good quarter.
Yeah, and I'm curious what your thoughts are on this. But mine is, I feel like it's that real estate bubble in 2008, 2009, where you can do nothing wrong. Like you can buy something overpriced. That's like a piece of crap, and you can wait a month and it goes up in value. And I feel like it's the same thing that's happening now. People are literally buying, what I would consider like a junk stock, like Hertz rental car that filed for bankruptcy. People would buy it for, a few bucks, and it would just, go up by 700%, even though it's completely useless. The stock is going to get liquidated. Like it's almost like, it's like people are chasing like the Bitcoin bubble all over again.
I'm certainly buying the hype. I mean, the tech bubble that everyone's talking about right now, the only thing I never hear people talk about or correlate to stock prices is the amount of money that's in supply. So people will go back and say, stocks are historically expensive right now compared to 2010 or 2000 or 1980. But I never hear that as a comparison to how much money is actually in supply. And there's more money in supply now. I mean, how much money's been printed all around the world? How much money in bailouts and stimulus packages have been given out, not just in the US, but all around the world? And people are sitting at home all day, and they're not spending money on things that they're normally spending on. So a lot of people are putting this money into Tesla stock and things like this. So if as long as this amount of money and the printing presses are rolling, asset prices have to go higher. Now, are the fundamentals going to kick back in at some point and say this is no longer sustainable and we're gonna have some big massive bubble burst? Maybe. But I've been believing in through this downturn, and when we've been making investments, is just the fact that there's no doubt that everything is going higher. Asset prices are going to go higher. There might be a bubble burst, but by 2022, asset prices are going to be higher unless there's some massive bubble burst, because there's just so much more money in supply.
Yeah, I agree. And there's nowhere to put our money. money. I mean, there's the interest rates are so low. Even Marcus, and I'm sure Ally as well, they dropped their interest rates from what used to be, 2.25% when we first started investing with them, down to 1%. And I think they're holding that 1% just so it looks good. But I'm pretty sure in reality, it should be even lower.
Cash is trash, man. I mean, at a deep level, I'm worried about major inflation on the US dollar, worried about the US dollar becoming de-kinged, de-crowned as the reserve currency, which will happen at some point. It might be 200 years from now, or it might be next year. I mean, we just don't know. But certainly the way things are going right now, it's losing its dominance or losing its appeal. So, you know, people don't want to be in cash right now for the most part. People want to be invested. And so you're seeing a flood into asset. Like in Charlotte, housing prices are at all-time high. Go figure, right?
Yeah, so. It's crazy because nothing is a good value right now. Nothing's stable, but cash really is the least stable thing. So we don't know where to put our money. I logged into my account the other day, like literally 2 days ago, and I thought I would have like $1,000 in that account. I had like $75,000 in that account and I had no idea where it came from.
Yeah.
And I was pissed thinking, crap, how long has this been sitting here not being invested because it's losing money every day it's there.
Yeah, exactly. I have that same feeling. And all of my annuities, well, I love them because during the downturn, I'm still making 3.5% on them. A lot of those are locked up for 5 years. I don't think we'll have major inflation in like the next couple of years, unless there's some other geopolitical event that tags onto this. But, you know, it's scary to have money tied up in cash, I think, for the long term. I think one of the best investments you can make right now is real estate and property outside of a major city, in a suburb, or even like where I invested. If I had property in a downtown of a major city, I would be dumping it like potatoes, man. I think the value proposition of living in a city just got bashed, right? By a big in a big way, a very, very significant way. And the value proposition for living outside the city, in a more sustainable area, low cost area, something with more land, you know, everything is now working in the favor of that. And as soon as you get outside of big cities, as everyone knows, you can get prices at, you know, a fraction of the prices you get in the big cities, and a higher quality of life in a lot of ways.
Let's talk about that. You just bought another house. Where did you buy it?
I just bought another house, South Carolina. So the couple of quarterly updates ago, I was like, hey, I'm building a house in South Carolina. And I went to pick up the land to build a house on, and I missed the tax auction. Like, I was going into this tax auction just saying, whatever someone bids, I'm going to bid higher. And we're talking like 4,000 or 5,000, maybe 6,000. So it didn't really matter. I was just going to buy it, be the highest bidder. But I went the day late. I got the date wrong and someone bought the property. I wrote them to try to buy it and they didn't respond. So I'm like, all right, put that on back burner. And then I ended up buying the place in Barcelona. Well, then the whole COVID thing came and, man, I can't tell you how challenging this year has been. I mean, I know everyone out there listening has, no matter who you are, you've struggled in some way, personally, relationship, finance. I think Johnny's probably been the best off in a lot of ways. But everyone's had some type of struggle with this. Even for you, I mean, maybe there's like something deep down, they're like, hey, I wish maybe I could get back to the US easier, or maybe not, but okay, fine. Johnny's 100% happy with COVID. But you know, I was in Barcelona trying to get the business set up and organized and get the place renovated and get my golden visa done. And COVID came through. I'm like, man, I don't want to be stuck here. So came back to the US, brought my girlfriend, and my roommate also was in a similar situation, brought his girlfriend back. Well, dude, we have like this 900 square foot two bedroom apartment in Charlotte, and it's only supposed to be a closet for either of us. And we found ourselves with four people living in this place and a dog with no amenities and basically like super, you know, super strict. There's nothing to do in that area except the amenities in the complex. And it was pretty miserable. I gotta be honest. It felt really like a prison sentence. So I went to, it's actually my parents' neighborhood. It's near Clemson. It's about 20 minutes away from Clemson. And I've always loved the neighborhood. It's gated. It backs up to an amazing lake called Lake Hartwell. It's sort of almost like a utopian style community where they have little farms. You can grow stuff there. Everyone rides around in a golf cart. It's super cheap. I mean, I posted a photo in the Boss Lounge at my house. It's basically 3,000 square foot with two car garage on an acre of property. And it's got a basement underneath that's also a two car garage that you can pull in like a golf cart to or build a gym out in. And I got it for $299. And I'm like, how am I going to get hurt on this, right? Like, even if it's strictly a plan B in case there's COVID or whatever happens, it's my little like Safe's place, right?
Yeah, and that's an amazing price. When I saw that photo and I was like, this is a really nice house. That house in California would cost $3 million or like 2.5 right. or something like that. Like, I can't believe you got it for $300,000. That's insane.
And John, I mean, you and I are the same. We like value, right? No matter where in the world we are, we'll spend money if it's a good value. And for me, that when I looked at Tahoe, I looked at places in Colorado, Florida, Texas, I'm just like, you know what? You buy a $1 million place that you don't really love, and you have your carry cost between insurance, maintenance, HOA, and property tax. Like, you could be in $30,000, $40,000 sunk cost each year. And I'm just like, I know when I'm living in Thailand and Barcelona, that is going to be a tough pill to swallow and a tough check to write. So I just wanted a place that was cool, safe, good community, good value. And, you know, my carry cost on this house will probably be $3,000 a year, including, you know, HOA. It's got a community pool, golf course, gated community. So what, like $300 a month or something.
And does that include property tax, or how much is that going to be a year?
Yeah, that includes property tax. So I think property tax will be like $2,500 a year or something.
Okay. Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Reasonable, right? I mean, for the US, you're not gonna do much better than that.
Okay. So you also bought the lot next door. How much was that?
So it was basically 3/4 acre that came with the house. And then he had bought the property next to it that's also about another 1/4 acre. And he was using that as basically an RV storage. Okay. So I just offered, they were asking $310. I offered $290 for the house and the lot.
Oh, nice.
To it, and they countered at $299, signed the next. This was like a 2-day thing. It was like,
yeah.
Called, made the offer, negotiated the next day, signed the contracts 2 days later.
Wow. And did you have to go through an agent, or was it direct?
Yeah, actually. So my dad's good friends with an agent in the community. We're just friendly with them. So we're just like, you know what? They hadn't sold anything in a while. And we didn't need to use them, but we did. Just, it's a tight knit community. We wanted to help them out.
So you just tossed them 3% just to be nice.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I guess, you know, the only difference is we may have been able to negotiate a lower price if we didn't use them, right? Because it was no money out of my pocket directly.
Yeah.
But if we didn't use them, we may have been able to get it for like $295 or $290. But it was, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
But I think the cool thing with this is I want to get some people like yourself and some other people in the community out to check this place out, because this is exactly what I think is the modern hub for remote or location independent professionals. Because, you know, again, why live in Atlanta or Charlotte? If you can have good community, have a great quality of life, and live for literally that price is a third the price of what it would be in Charlotte.
Yeah.
So I think this is the new way of life, man. It's hub and spoke, right? Hub is, you got a hub. Maybe that's one or two places that you spend most of the year. And spoke is, you know, you travel like you or like I have been doing, maybe not on as frequent a basis, but it's a very much a flexible lifestyle. And I think you got to have a hub, but you don't want to have the really high carry cost of that hub.
I agree 100%. I do think, though, that the kind of ultimate place would be somewhere within, let's say, an hour drive of a major airport where you can actually fly somewhere else. How far? I'm assuming you're a bit further than that, right?
Yeah. So you're 50 minutes to Greenville Airport. So Greenville Airport is a great airport. It's not a major hub. Okay. So you can fly a lot of places direct in the US, but if you're going to go anywhere international, you're going to be connecting through Atlanta or Charlotte. But to be honest, I would prefer to access the airport in Greenville and connect than to access Atlanta or Charlotte or Atlanta particularly direct, because it's such a nightmare getting into that airport and dealing with the lines and everything.
Okay.
It's almost like a premium check-in in Greenville, which is a super awesome little quaint, clean airport. And then you just hop over to Atlanta, Charlotte on a 20-minute flight.
So Johnny's predictions. I have a good feeling about this one. Normally, whenever you buy a place, I always think back in my mind, oh my God, why did you buy this? You're probably not going to actually live there for more than a few months. I actually think you're going to keep this place forever. I think you're going to use it as a nice home base to retreat, where you're going to disappear there for 3 months, you know, maybe even 6 months at a time, and you're going to enjoy the crap out of it. And then you're literally going to, you're probably never going to rent it out. You're probably going to have it as like your keepsake home that you're going to enjoy whenever the world gets too chaotic and you just want to disappear. And when you're there, probably nobody will hear from you for months at a time. You're just going to be sipping lemonade, hanging out, driving a golf cart and say, if you want to see me, just show up. I'll be here for the next 6 months.
That's right. Gate codes 2811. Just pop in. No, I'm not going to spend much. You know, you'd be pretty bored there if you spent 6 months a year there, to be honest. But it's a great place to recharge. It's a great plan B. And, you know, my time in the US is probably going to be limited to something like that. I still think I'm reinvigorated about the Barcelona Barcelona place now. That was a sort of a nightmare.
Yeah, it was.
But now that it's coming together and the renovation started and I can see the end point and it's going to be a place that I'm going to love versus a cheaper investment that would just be kind of like done and not that cool. I'm still really excited about Barcelona again. It's just like, dude, dealing with lawyers and paperwork and taxes and bills. And all of a sudden you start getting charged each month for utilities and all this shit that we don't have. And it all compiles with all the other investment stuff. I'm just like, why did I do this? Should just rent it. But nah, it's an investment. It's an investment in lifestyle.
Yeah. So I do hope the Barcelona works out for you. I'm glad that
buddy.
It's not my headache because it seems like a huge headache.
You know, it's definitely not as easy as being in a suitcase and renting. But I think I haven't figured out a way in my head that I'm going to be happy just renting and hopping for the rest of my life. I do like that to a certain degree half the year, but I feel that the places that I bought in Thailand, I love, you know, I just love them. It's that sense of security, that sense of home. Yeah. I can entertain people there. I can host people there. I have a closet there. So when I get off the plane, it's not like, where am I going to live or where's this new place? It's like, I have a home there. So I think Barcelona will become that and just got to get some community there, you know, get you coming a month or two a year and hanging out and start hosting some meetups and stuff.
All right. No, I'm in a pretty good position. Like, I think this is what this is like my ultimate dream is for me not to own anything, but for you to have a guest room in every place I want to be.
Dude, you know, I think the best time of my life looking back was when I was building SkySig and I'm like this broke 25, 26 year old that's living off noodles in hostels and out of the back of a car some days, but I had nothing. So I had nothing except time and attention in my brain, right? I wasn't thinking about all this other stuff, but the guys that I was working with were already successful and financially set. And so they owned the places in Miami and had the yachts in Ibiza and the places in Japan. And I would just go there and be like their hardworking guy that's running, you know, the business. Mm-hmm. And I would reap all the benefits of their wealth, but without any of the headaches. And that was a pretty awesome feeling, gotta say. Yeah. Fortunately, you don't have the place in Japan or a yacht and a visa for me.
No. Oh yeah, that's true. You know, it seems like you're slowly building all this up, so it's okay.
You gotta pay it forward, man. But cool. Yeah.
So speaking of real estate, while you've been adding on to your real estate, I have actually started owning less and less now. That $75,000 that hit my account, that was from the request I put in. Quarterly update episode, Sam and I dive in so deep into all of our accounts, and there's been so many changes since 2020 Q2, Q1, because the world is changing. Sam and I have both made big investments and sold a lot, bought a lot, have pulled out over 100K each in investments, as well as reinvested over 100K each in new investments. Something pretty surprising, some pretty exciting. So I hope you guys watch the full episode. It's in video format. It's 2 hours long, but we open up our dashboards. We really dive in deep. And if you want to check it out, just go to investlikeaboss.com and click on become a Patreon, sign up for any tier, even the $5 tier, and you're going to get all the bonuses, including access to this quarterly update, as well as all the other benefits that you'll see on the Patreon, as well as just helping us out and letting us be able to continue making these great episodes with guests, and have, you know, bring on all these bosses. So thank you guys for supporting the show. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope to see you inside the Patreon exclusive zone. Feel free to ask any questions there. I'm happy to answer it. Thanks so much for listening, and see you guys all next week for the next regularly scheduled interview.